As you relax in your sun lounger in your garden, you stare at the puffy white clouds that float across the deep blue sky. The sun hits your skin, and you wait for a light breeze to come along and provide some cooling relief. The wind finally begins to blow. You relish the cool feeling it leaves on your skin, and your ears pick up the sweet sounds of notes floating on the breeze. The tubes bumping against one another and into the central clapper. The metal vibrates. Nearby air particles vibrate. Other nearby air particles vibrate. The sound waves travel through the air and reach your ear, and your eardrum vibrates, replicating the wind chime. Vibration. Sound. Energy. They say that our voice is a mirror for our inner universe. It reveals our moods, fears, intentions, hopes, tensions, thoughts, desires, and reflects who we truly are. It's an expression of our soul. Energy traveling through the air in the form of words. I recall that conversation with my grandma one cold winter evening as we sat close to the fire while she made the shopping list in her already shaky handwriting. I felt really close to her then. But I also remember all those words I never said to her, all those conversations we never got to have, everything I didn't share with her, everything I never asked. And those other words I did say to her, out of frustration or just pure doubtful arrogance, without realizing I would later regret them. What happens with all those words? What shall we do with our guilt, with our regrets? Welcome home. This is Mind and Body, and I'm your host, Elena Diaz. Let's get started. The regrets you keep hidden and secret will fester and grow. Talking about the regretful things you said or didn't say won't heal the pain of losing someone, but it will start the healing process. How? By ripping off the dark covers of shame and guilt, by bringing your words and actions out into the light so you can start dealing with the regrets haunting you. When someone you love dies, you can't apologize or make amends, but you can start working your way through the grief. You can write about your grief, maybe keeping a personal journal. You can channel those feelings in some work of art like a painting, or even sing about your grief. You can also meet up with some close friend and open up about it, or reach out for help from places like the Drop-in Bereavement Center, where you may indeed find a strength and a sense of stability and peace. Time alone will not heal the grief, nor will it make your guilt and remorse go away. Grief is what it is, and there are no shortcuts to it. It's hard work, and there's already plenty of it out of your hands, out of your control. So just try and focus on that you can control. Those little actions that brings you some peace, some joy, some relief, right here, right now. But also those things that will help build your future well-being. choose one windy day, one of those days that can still make up for a pleasant walk with the right clothes. Find a place out in nature. You can actually have two different spots and even go in different days. Start gathering small flowers and leaves, and as you hold them in your hands, think about all those negative emotions that have become attached to your grief. All that blame, resentment, guilt, shame. Just go with the flow of your feelings. Maybe you want to assemble the flowers into a shape or design, or maybe you simply need to collect and hold them randomly in your hands. And then whisper a prayer or a wish for your loved one or for yourself into those flowers and leaves, and scatter them one by one in the breeze or blow on the seeds of a dandelion so they are carried far away by the wind. This first part of the grief ritual can help you let go of destructive feelings, thus allow more room for love and peace to expand inside of you. We do not let go of our loved one or our memories through this action. Those remain intact as a pure expression of our love. And as I mentioned, you can choose another spot or even go another day for the second part of this grief ritual. This time you'll need a basket or a small bucket where you will collect all these flowers and leaves. But now the idea is to focus on our actions instead of our feelings. The actual words we said, or the ones we kept inside, the kind of communication we had with our loved one, the actions we regret, but also the nice and happy moments we shared with them. And again, dedicate a prayer or a wish into the bucket of flowers and gently pour it all over your head. The aim of this second part of the ritual is to apologize if you feel you did something wrong. Forgive yourself. Find positive thoughts to balance your guilt and learn from your mistakes. You can combine both parts of the ritual in any way you wish and practice them as often as you feel like, as long as they bring some comfort to you. If you found that that didn't help at all, just make sure that at least you had a nice day out in nature. But maybe, just maybe, you will feel lighter. Maybe, just maybe, you'll discover more colors in the palette of your life. Holi is a popular ancient Hindu festival, also known as the Festival of Colors. Holi celebrates the arrival of spring, the end of winter, the blossoming of love, and for many, it is a day to forgive, to repair broken relationships, rid oneself of past errors. People smear each other with perfumed colored powder, made to stick with water pistols and balloons, and also release part of this powder into the air. Air, vibration, energy. Bereavement and grief are also about transforming energies, struggling, healing, finding comfort and love. What's coming next is a very special present that we received from Erlinda, counselor for the Drop-In Bereavement Center. Whoever you are, whatever your path or beliefs, you may want to turn up the volume on this one.
Me by the still His goodness restores my soul. Now I will trust in you alone, and I will trust in you alone. For your endless mercy follows me, your goodness will lead me home. Guides my ways in righteousness, and he anoints my head with oil, and my cup it overflows with joy. I feast on his pure delight, and I will trust in you. For your endless mercy follows me, your goodness will lead me home. And though I walk the darkest path, I will not fear the evil one, for you are with me. Your rod and staff are the comfort I need to know, and I will trust in you alone, and I will trust in you alone. For your endless mercy follows me, your goodness will lead me home.
This was The Lord's My Shepherd, music by Stuart Townend and wonderfully sung by our dear Erlinda. I just can say I get chills every time I listen to it, so a million thanks, Erlinda. We often hear that grief is a process rather than a particular moment in time, and I'm sure most of us are familiar with the theory of the five stages. You know, we go through five different stages after the loss of a loved one. Denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and finally acceptance. But I would like to dig a bit deeper in here, and for that, I want you to meet someone.
Hello, my name is Jeff. I live and work in London. I've lived here for most of the last 58 years, and I've had contact with the Drop-In Bereavement Centre since 2013.
Jeff's brother, Peter, died in April 2013 of lung cancer. Well, actually, three members of his family have died of lung cancer, but his brother was the closest to him and the death that hit him harder. He told me that the first year was the most difficult one, and during the first few months, he just kept as busy as he could, with work mainly and with all sorts of different things. What happened then?
So when it came to the end of the summer in 2013, it hit me like a ton of bricks, really. And it wasn't so much my own clear thinking that got me some help. It was more other people's prompting, saying, "You're not quite right. You've changed, you know." And so, anyway, when the work sort of dried up a bit, then I had more time with my own thinking, and I got to the point where I couldn't really get out of a chair. I couldn't see the point to do anything, and didn't really want to do anything.
Jeff saw a doctor near that time, but instead of going into antidepressants, as they prescribed, he started to exercise, but like a lot.
It was quite extreme. It was almost like a triathlon in a day. So I'd cycle to the park over in Victoria Park. I'd run around the park twice, and then I'd go swimming in the Olympic pool and do, I don't know, 15 lengths of the pool or something. So I am now 58. So I was then, I was 50 years old. So it's quite a lot of exercise, but the point of it is that I was trying to cope with how I felt.
Then he heard about the Drop-In Bereavement Centre and got in touch with them. He started a series of one-to-one counselling sessions and eventually also joined the men's group for some time, and somehow was a part of it for a long time. But for him, the most important thing was not only to actually use those resources, but to know that the centre was there for him anytime he needed it. And indeed, he left a few times because he thought, well, I'm okay now. And then he needed to go back a few times too. So when we talk about those five stages of grief, there are two things we need to take into consideration. One, that each of us will grieve differently, so you may or may not go through each of these stages and or even experience each of them in order. Also, the lines are often blurred, so you may feel that you're moving from one stage to the other rather quick, but then possibly back again to a previous one before fully moving into a new stage. And you have just heard an example of that from Jeff. And the second important thing, and this is of paramount importance, folks, there's no set amount of time to heal when you grieve. And we also need to abandon old beliefs like the idea of getting over grief and just moving on with our lives, you know, because that is just not the case. Grief changes us, and the person who died won't just vanish. No, that they get integrated in our lives from there onward, and they profoundly change how we live and how we experience the world. Let's hear some more from Jeff.
I think what people say, you know, like the old cliches about time being a healer, and it is, but the thing is that bereavement's not like anything else, really. It's not like, I don't know. It's not really, for me, it wasn't like dealing with any other problem I've had or difficulty I've had. It was much, much more powerful and sort of overwhelming than anything I had experienced. And so I guess it's all to do with who the person is and your relationship with them and who you are and, you know, how much it hits you. But I think the important thing is to know that if you need help, that there are various places you can seek help, including the bereavement centre.
So yes, grief is a very personal journey and a very personal experience. Some people will never change the room of the person who died. They will keep their clothes in the closet as they were, their things on the table, and so on. Jeff told me that it took him over a year to put away his brother's clothes and painting materials. And he finally did it, just because he felt the need to turn the page, as to say. I'd like to close this testimony with something that Jeff told me and that resonated strongly with me. I'm sure many of you can also relate.
The most difficult point for me was the initial year, and it was like going to live in, I would imagine, it's like when people get culture shock, when they have to go and live in another country. The world looked similar to the world I knew, but it was all slightly out. And then you get sort of reminders of the person you've lost. You know, or you think you see them, or you have their phone number still in your phone, or messages and things like that. And all these things, they're difficult to deal with because... but for me, it was... Like, the initial year was the toughest, and... But slowly, slowly, things have got more normal, despite a world pandemic, you know.
Dear Jeff, I can't thank you enough for sharing your words with me and the listeners of this podcast. I'm sure your example will give them hope and strength. So thanks again. Now, for the last few minutes of this episode, I'm going to ask you for your full and undivided attention. Maybe until now you've been doing some chores around the house, maybe some cleaning or some gardening. Maybe even you went out to do some shopping with your headphones on. If that is the case, you can hit pause now and make sure you find a quiet spot where you can comfortably sit for, say, 4 or 5 minutes. We're going to practice a very relaxing breathing exercise, a pranayama called Nadi Shodhana, or alternate nostril breath. It's a very effective and safe technique for soothing the nerves and settling the fluctuations of the mind, if you will. It's good for releasing physical tension and also for supporting clarity, tranquility, energy flow, and stress reduction. Once we've done it here today, you can maybe practice it daily, and it's perfect for chaotic times or whenever you're feeling anxious, nervous, stressed, or just exhausted. So take a comfortable, steady seat. Make sure you feel cozy but awake and aware. Sit up tall and close your eyes. We'll begin with the counting breath. Inhale and exhale to the count of four. I will guide you here. Let's begin. Inhale, 2, 3, 4. Exhale, 2, 3, 4. Inhale, 2, 3, 4. Exhale, 2, 3, 4. Inhale, 2, 3, 4. Exhale, 2, 3, 4. Inhale, keep counting to your own beat. And on the next inhalation, release the count. Let the natural breath return and take a moment to feel the effects of that counting breath. So now I'm going to ask you to close off your right nostril with your right thumb. Keep it like that and use your counting breath to breathe only through your left nostril for a few seconds. Let's begin. Inhale, 2, 3, 4. Exhale, 2, 3, 4. Inhale, 2, 3, 4. Exhale. 2, 3, 4. Inhale. Keep counting to your own beat. When you're ready, deeply inhale through that same left nostril. Hold your breath in, and through both nostrils, exhale. And take some time breathing through both your nostrils and allowing your breath to accommodate. I'm going to switch, so block your left nostril with your left thumb to breathe only through the right. Let's begin. Inhale, 2, 3, 4. Exhale, 2, 3, 4. Inhale, 2, 3, 4. Exhale, 2, 3, 4. Inhale, keep counting to your own beat. When you're ready, deeply inhale up that same right nostril. Hold your breath in, and through both your nostrils, exhale. Allow your breath to adjust and expand. You can totally stay here just breathing through both nostrils, observing and relaxing, or you can go one step further to the full Nadi Shodhana exercise. We will be inhaling up one nostril and exhaling down the other one now. Let's begin. So I want you to rest your left hand down on your lap, because we're going to be only using the right hand to begin with. Close your right nostril with your right thumb. Inhale up the left nostril slowly and steady. Pause briefly at the top. And then you release your thumb and use your index finger to close the left nostril so that you can exhale down the right nostril. And pause briefly at the bottom of the exhale. So you continue the cycle. Inhale up the left nostril. Exhale down the right nostril. Inhale up the left. Exhale down the right. Inhale 2, 3, 4. Exhale 2, 3, 4. Inhale 2, 3, 4. Exhale 2, 3, 4. Keep going on your own. When you're ready, deeply inhale up the left nostril, hold your breath in and down through both your nostrils, exhale. Breathe through both nostrils for a few seconds. And let's switch hands. You can rest your right hand now on your lap, and we're going to use only the left hand. Close your left nostril with your left thumb. Inhale up the right nostril, slowly, steady. Pause briefly at the top as you inhale. And then release your thumb. Use your index finger to close your right nostril so that you can exhale down the left nostril. And pause briefly at the bottom of the exhale. Continue the cycle. Inhale up the right nostril. Exhale down the left nostril. Inhale up the right. Exhale down the left. Inhale 2, 3, 4. Exhale 2, 3, 4. Inhale 2, 3, 4. Exhale 2, 3, 4. Keep going on your own. Thank you. When you're ready, deeply inhale up the right nostril, hold your breath in and down through both your nostrils, exhale. Return your breath to normal and take a moment to notice how that feels. I'm sure you're feeling a warm and nice sensation around your chest now. That is energy. That is air transforming into fire. Enjoy that sensation because it's a beautiful one. And please stay tuned for our next episode, which will be, of course, fire. This was Mind and Body, a podcast funded by the Newham COVID-19 Community Grant from Newham Local Authority, produced and created by me, Elena Diaz, for all beneficiaries and friends of the Drop-In Bereavement Centre in London, UK. Thanks for listening and have a beautiful day.